You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Let's take a moment to talk about today's episode sponsor, Jane, a practice management software and EHR I use to help keep things running smoothly behind the scenes. When I first started looking for a practice management tool, I wanted something that felt like a partner in my practice, not just more tech to figure out, which is why I switched to Jane. One of the things I love most about Jane, their support team. I've used other EHR systems before, and Jane's customer service is truly like none other. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. It's easy to learn about Jane in your own time, too. Jane's guides are packed with helpful tips and updates, and it's always growing. And maybe best of all, Jane has a wonderful community of practitioners, so even if you're running a solo practice, you don't have to feel like you're doing it alone. If you're curious about what Jane can do for your practice, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo. And if you're ready to get started, be sure to use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. Today's episode may feel a little bit less polished, and it's not for any particular reason, but this is an episode that has just been kind of like mulling over in my brain for the last couple weeks. I went to the NASW conference in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of this month. And ever since that conference, I've just been really thinking about this topic and about where our field is with this and different conversations I've been having with other therapists and that I've been seeing other therapists have, specifically online. And I felt like I wanted to just kind of bring my own thoughts to this. So it's not a teaching episode. It's not a here are five tips type thing. But I really wanted to be talking about and just kind of like give my thoughts around the things that are happening in our field when it comes to AI and big tech. Right? There's a lot of conversations that are happening amongst providers, amongst those higher up in our field, like from, you know, our boards, those kinds of things around AI, around these big tech companies. And these conversations are happening rightfully so. There are major concerns about how is data being used, you know, whether it is from an AI model, whether it is from a big tech company, right? Like there's been some recent things coming out about Talkspace really using like the information that clients have been talking about in session to like train their AI chatbot and stuff. Like there's some legit serious concerns happening. And there are also concerns about the impact that AI and these big tech companies are having on our jobs, on our field, on our careers. And I think a lot of times, in general, I see this with so many of us in this field. We are tempted to make some of these conversations like very black and white, like AI is all good or AI is all bad. Tech, big tech is all good. It's all bad. And I think there's a case to be made for both sides, right? But I think there's actually a lot more nuance in these conversations and things that I've been thinking about since this conference that have had me like reevaluating my approach and how I view things and how I think about things when it comes to AI and big tech, right? And we do need to be having these conversations about, again, like what do these things mean for our field? And so, like I said, this is not an episode that I'm going to be like, here are 10 AI tools that you need, right? This is really about, it is about ethics, but it's also looking at the practicality of these things because we know ethics is a major part in everything that we do, right, in our field. I think a lot of times we hide behind ethics or the claim of ethics when things feel new or feel scary, and really it is a values thing. But we do have to talk about the ethical pieces of AI, right? But I also want us to be thinking about, are my hesitations of these things or the ways I'm leaning into these things based on the actual ethics of my profession or my own personal values, because those are two very different things that a lot of times I see so many of us blurring. And again, it's not to say that they don't blur, but you can choose to not use a tool or do something based off of that's just your value, right? But it doesn't mean that somebody else that is doing it is breaking ethics or is unethical. So I just want us to kind of keep that in mind as we have this conversation. And when I see us talking about AI specifically, again, there's so much happening in our field, conversations around this, but I see providers kind of getting sorted into two camps, right? There's the group of us that believes that like anything AI at all in any helping profession is a betrayal of our work. It's unethical. It cheapens what we do. It's coming for our jobs, right? That like basically AI is bad. And then there is the camp that has gone like all in, says that AI is the answer for everything, that like there's no problem with this, and they're going full force in. And I think the reality is that there are a lot of us, the majority of us are kind of in the middle of this, right? And we feel like we're supposed to pick sides, and you know, we have the ethics police in our profession, right? The people are like, ethics, it's unethical. And so we feel judged if we say, well, actually, I am interested in using this tool or using this in my practice. And then we feel guilty if we are using it or have used it, right? Or we may even feel a little behind. Like, am I supposed to be using this? I don't know if I want to. So I want you to like walk away from my conversation today, not with like a very specific, clear answer, but to really look at like what is actually risky and what could actually be helpful. And also to think about like, how do you want to approach the possibility of using AI now or in the future in your practice? Or these, you know, big tech, you know, those kinds of things. Because if you are curious, I think this next part of the conversation is really important to hear. So when I was at the NASW conference, the first day there was like an open panel, and the heads of NASW, APA, NAMI, they were all there. And there was a big conversation. It was about like, what does AI in our field look like? What are the risks? What do we need to be aware of? And it was a really, really interesting conversation. It wasn't necessarily what I thought it was going to be. The heads of these organizations were really clear about a few things. Number one, they talked about how AI is happening so quickly that we as professions in the mental health field, like we have not really had a time to catch up to it in the sense of what are the implications of using this in our work, right? Like, what are the ethics? What are the concerns? What are the confidentiality pieces that we need to have awareness around and we need to be concerned about, and how do we use that? So they were very clear on that, that like, yeah, there are some seriously concerning things that we need to be aware of. And that our job is to try to bring to the larger conversation, right? Like to the table of legislatures and to those that are, you know, high at these tech companies to say, hey, we're not saying don't use this at all, but if you're going to be using this in the space of mental health, you need to pause because there's some things that you need to consider, and we're the ones that you need to listen to. So I thought that that was really interesting because, again, they're not saying don't use AI, AI is bad, but to say if you're going to try to use it in this field, you need to listen to us as the experts on that. And one of the other things that I thought was really, really fascinating, really interesting way of thinking about this, and I think it was Marketta Wells. She's like the CEO, medical director of APA, and she said, "I don't like to think of it as like artificial intelligence, but she said I like to think of it, and I think we need to think of it as augmented intelligence." And what she meant by that, like one of the other panelists had said, you know, there is this conversation, there is this fear of like, is AI going to replace therapists? And they were very clear. They're like, no, they're not, it's not going to replace therapists because AI is missing something that a human has, and that's empathy. And I'm in that same camp. Like, I don't fear that AI is going to completely take away my job. I just don't. And I can get into that in another time, further in this episode, but I am in that same camp. I don't think it's going to fully take away my job for a variety of reasons. But what Marketta was saying with the augmented, she said it's not there, it's not going to do our job, right? Like it's not going to be able to look at the nuance and to have the empathy and the connection with somebody in the same way that a real human is, but it can actually help us to consider things and think about things in different ways, or create tools or create resources to support us or our clients in a way that we may not be able to do ourselves, right? That, like, if we are looking at it for some clinical insight, it's not to say it's doing the thinking for us, right? But it is supporting us, it is augmenting our own intelligence. So I thought that was really, really interesting. But the other thing that I thought was really, really fascinating that Marketta said, and the whole room kind of had a moment, people really reacted to this in a positive way. You know, again, this conversation around, is AI going to replace therapists? And what she said was that AI is not going to replace therapists. What is going to replace therapists is those who learn how to use AI. So the therapists who learn how to use AI, they are going to replace the therapists who don't learn how to use that. And like I said, there was like an audible re reaction to that. And I thought that that was really, really interesting because it reminded me of what I see so much in our field. At the conference, I had a separate conversation with somebody high in the behavioral health area of Jane, and we were having a really, really positive conversation about trying to understand, like, what is it about therapists? Why are we hesitant around AI? And one of the things I said was, like, you have to understand, we are a very fearful bunch. We are nervous. We are scared. And when there is something new that is coming into our space, we tend to immediately, again, kind of hide behind the ethical pieces of this isn't ethical, but I think it's more of, I don't know what this is, and so I'm not sure about it yet. I liken this back to telehealth. I've been doing telehealth since 2015, and I had been using it for years before COVID. And so many people at the time questioned me, is that ethical? Are you sure? I don't know about this. Like, there was definitely some judgment there of like, I don't think that's real therapy, all of that. And then what happened is COVID hit and everybody was forced to do that. And very quickly, people realized, like, actually, this is a type of therapy that is very efficient, effective, and this is legit. It's not unethical. And so I think the use of AI, we are in a similar space of, we don't know what this is, and so we are scared of it. And again, rightfully so. But I think this idea of that the therapists who you learn to use this are going to replace those who don't, I do think that that is going to become a real thing eventually. But using AI in your practice or as a therapist or as a social worker or as a mental health provider doesn't mean that you have to use it for everything, right? You don't have to use it in a place that there's, concern about client privacy or, limits of confidentiality, that kind of thing, right? One of the panelists that was at this conference, talked about how our clients are using AI, right? Like, whether we're working with teens or even elderly individuals, they are using AI. And so we have to use it ourselves in some capacity to understand what is happening here, right? That if a client comes into our, appointment and says, hey, I was having this conversation with ChatGPT and I was putting in my symptoms and they were saying this and I was telling it this and this is what it's telling me. We have to be prepared to say, well, here are some of the concerns about why that might not be accurate. Or, why are you going to that as a place to vent or process versus a human or a person, right? So having understanding of, like, this is showing up in our clients' lives, whether we want to use it ourselves or not. And so we do need to have awareness around what this looks like in a day-to-day life. So again, going back to this idea of therapists who learn to use AI will eventually replace those who don't, I think we need to ask ourselves, like, what does that look like for us in our work and in our personal lives? And looking at it again through the lens of our ethics and our personal values. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. One of the things that I have seen kind of come up in the conversations around AI, and this is not just happening in our field, right? This is across the board when it comes to this, that there is an environmental concern, right? Like that is a legit concern with the data centers, with the amount of water that is being used. Kim Tolson, if you're not familiar with her, she researches AI a lot. She uses it a lot in her work as a therapist. And she put out some really interesting data recently, just talking about the amount of energy that is used in a prompt is not much different than the amount of energy it takes to like charge a phone and those kinds of things. So again, it's not to say that there's not concern about the environment. There is, but I think to look at, okay, so the environmental impacts of what this may be doing, as well as how can this actually be helping me and how do I choose to use it? There are so many things in our lives that impact the environment. And I know for like the social work profession, social justice is a piece of our code of or our values of the profession, and social justice, climate change, a lot of times they go hand in hand. And so that is a piece that oftentimes is coming up in our profession. But I think to also look at like there are just things in life that we have to use that, yes, do impact the environment, right? Like, for example, we know that disposable diapers are not great for the environment. But as a mom, I do not have the time or the capacity or the energy or the stamina or all the things to do cloth diapers with my kids. Right. And so that is a conscious choice I am making, that like I recognize that this is not as good for the environment, but I'm not. But I can't do this other option, but I can make other choices to say, okay, but I am going to compost, or I am going to recycle in this way, or I'm not going to consume these things, or what have you. Right. And I think that is a nuance to bring to this conversation around the climate piece when it comes to ethics and our values when it, you know, around AI. I think doing some research around what would it look like to use AI in your practice is important for a variety of reasons. I just want to emphasize how important it is to make informed choices, make informed decisions, right? I think when it comes to like going to the big tech space, there is a lot of anger and a lot of concern and red flags around these big tech companies. And I have them as well. But are there some where we are lumping them into that big tech because we see they're in that tech space, but they're not venture capital? They're actually owned by their founders, right? They're employee owned. There's not, you know, investors that they're beholden to, right? Like that's one of the things I love about Barry's and I love about Jane, that those are pieces of technology I use in my practice, but it's not venture capital backed, right? So that's a place of value, but also recognizing that I feel better about using those tools and I'm doing my research to not then lump them in with like it's any kind of technology is all bad, right? So I think to make sure that you're doing your research so that you understand that like if I'm choosing to use AI or somebody's talking to me about using AI in my, you know, my sessions to help write my notes, what does that actually mean? Because again, a lot of people are like, there, I would never do that. I'm so nervous about, like, is this training a model? Is this, going to become something that it's listening in on my clients and it's learning about them and it's backing this up. Doing the research to understand, like, okay, if I use AI in my sessions with this tool, how does it work versus using AI in my sessions with this other tool, right? Not all AI systems and models and resources are the same. So making sure that you understand, if I'm going to explore this or if I want to explore this, what are my concerns? What are the things that I want to make sure I have or I'm using or that th if this tool does not do, if I'm going to start looking at potentially using this in my practice, right? I've seen a lot of people, again, in this conversation in our field, when it comes to people talking about like using, an AI scribe to help write their notes, people are like, oh, it's like, you're giving up your clinical judgment. It's not making you think. I think the case can be made that sometimes it's actually helping you to think through stuff better, right? When you're using an AI tool, you're not just letting it listening and then just, say saving that note. You're going through and you're reviewing it, you're changing things. But I have found that it has helped me to look at some of the things going on with my clients, the homework that we're doing, the direction we're going in a different light because it picks up on symptoms that I may not have necessarily picked up on, and I can see how it connects in a different way. And so I think, again, going back to what Marquetta said at that conference, is that this is a tool to augment our work, not to replace it. As a mom, as a woman, we know that there's so much put on us in our work at home and in our business, right? And one of the ways that I am trying to think about how do I want to use AI personally and professionally is to think about where are the places I am burnout, or where are the places that I am carrying so much of the mental load that I need something taken off my plate? Where are the places that I can automate things in my personal life, in my business? And that those are some of the ways that I'm helping to make that decision. Again, with my personal values, I do care about the environment, but I want to make sure I'm making choices that I'm not just putting, information in and it's creating this picture and it's using this data and training it on my face and my children's face, like for fun. I'm not doing that, right? I've done that a couple of times and I've learned my lesson. I don't ever want to do that again, right? But what are the ways that if I'm going to say I have this awareness of the environmental impact or the potential impact, but I also need help, right? I need support in my admin work. I need support in scheduling things for my family and keeping track of things. To just say, well, don't use this at all, continues to put the burden on us as women and as moms to just do it all. I saw somebody in another conversation, who was really questioning the use of AI. I saw this other another provider comment, and it really opened my eyes to something. She mentioned that she has ADHD. I think she may have also mentioned that she had autism, and she's a therapist. And she said, being able to use AI in my sessions has helped me so much because I'm able to focus so much more on what my client is actually saying because I'm not worried about getting everything. Or that if I lose focus, that the AI that is listening in as a scribe is picking up on that. And it's helping me to have better clinical documentation, to be more prepared for the following session. So I think really just being cautious about creating these kind of blanket statements of it's all good, it's all bad, because there are a lot of people who this has been so helpful to them in their work as a therapist, in their role as a mom. And I want us to just be careful with judging them or creating a space where they feel judged if they say, hey, this is a resource I have found that has actually been helpful for me. You can choose not to use that, but making sure that we're not just hiding behind, again, like this idea of ethics when it comes to AI, to then shame other people for the ways that they are using it in their personal and professional lives. And so I guess I'll just kind of leave you with this, that again, this wasn't a conversation to say, here are the things that you need to do, But to bring some ideas up that I want to continue having these conversations around and engaging with other people, because again, there's so much more nuance here than we like to think that there is. And so, if you're interested in AI, like what does that look like in your personal life? What would that look like professionally? If you are considering, like, how could I use this in my practice? I highly recommend checking out Barry's. They're the AI scribe that I use in my private practice. Like I said earlier, they are founder owned. They are not part of a big tech company. I really like their transparency around their policies and their consents and how they use the data and how they inform us as providers. So I definitely recommend if that is something you're curious about, like just to do your research. This is not me selling you on you need to use AI, but if you are curious to actually do your research to get to understand the companies that you're considering and that not all companies operate the same way, because I think that's where we start getting in that space of like very black and white, all good, all bad. And we know there's so much more nuance to that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. How do you feel about AI in our work? You can find me on Instagram to kind of dialogue with me about this. You can send me an email, ashley@raisedtoempower.com. And if you have questions about the ways that I'm using AI in my work, right? I use it with my notes, I use it with content planning. I'm working on ways to identify more ways in my family life to kind of help manage the mental load, the physical load. If you have questions about that and you want to talk about it, feel free to reach out to me because again, I'm really enjoying these kinds of conversations, and I want to be having more of them. I want to thank you so much for being here with me today, and I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisedtoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.